Hello, I'm Renee Kramer, welcoming you to the FWC podcast, where we are bringing faith to life. To learn more about service times and discipleship classes, please visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. Now grab your Bibles and get ready for today's sermon.
Would you turn in your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 8. The book of John, chapter 8, starting in verse 31, it says, Jesus said to the people who believed in him. Now I want to stop and I want to ask you a question because I want to make sure I'm at the right crowd today. I want to make sure I'm talking to the right people today because sometimes it matters who you talk to. Am I in a place that you are here today and you say, we believe in Jesus? Can I see your hand? Amen. If I believe in Jesus, now, if your neighbor didn't raise their hand, you can take them by the hand real quick and say, well, let me lead you in the sinner's prayer. Okay, we can just do a mass prayer today and get that over with because I want to make sure we're talking to the right people, just like Jesus did. He came, he was talking to the Jews, and it said, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, okay, so that's you today. So say, that's me. All right, he's talking to you. I'm talking to you today through the scripture because this is the people that believed in Jesus. And he says, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teaching. You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teaching. One of the reasons I asked Apostle to do a good teaching today, because I knew he'd do a good job, but I knew he would take time and give you the teachings which are the Word of God. Anything we ever give you at this church is going to be directly out of the Word of God. If you come in disagreement with it, it may be because you're not understanding something fully, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. You can have a conversation, and we will gladly teach you, instruct you, show you the things where the Word of God says it. But if you come in disagreement with the Word, with what we're saying, you're coming in disagreement with the Word of God. Because the scriptures he gave you this morning were the Word of God. So it says, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. So one thing we have to do, we have to understand what are the teachings of the Lord. See, I've heard a lot of people, you know, a lot of people don't want to know certain things because then they're afraid they got to follow it. You know, they don't want to know certain things because then they're going to be convicted if they don't do those things. Well, I don't know. I don't want to know what the Bible says about giving. So when he starts talking, it's la, 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 you know, it's on your... Well, I don't want to know, because if I don't know, maybe I can get away with it for a little bit longer. You know, I don't want to know what the Bible says about certain things, because maybe I don't want to be convicted of it, you know? We see so many people that don't want to come into church because they feel convicted when they hear the truth. They know about Jesus, but they haven't switched over to knowing Jesus. And so therefore, they're still struggling with a lot of things and they're convicted about it. But the Bible says, you truly are my disciples when you remain faithful to my teachings. So we have to learn, we have to understand the teachings. Disciple means learner. So we have to learn and understand, be disciples of Jesus so that we know his teachings. You know, that's why what we're doing, the Accelerate Life Groups, is to show you and teach you more of the teachings of the Word of God. That's why on Sundays we read a lot of scripture because we're teaching you the teachings of Jesus. And he's speaking to those that believed in him, to the Jews, and he's saying, you're truly my disciples, you remain faithful to my teachings. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You know, I've heard people use this scripture a lot, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free, but we forget something in this, and I feel so often that we take some things out of context, because Jesus is starting with, I'm first of all talking to people who believe in me. See, unfortunately, we've got this, you know, thing backwards a little bit. We want to go to people who are struggling, and they don't know their identities, they don't know the promises of God, and we want to tell them the truth to set them free. And we say, well, I mean, you need to know that you're going to do this, and you're going to do that, and this is going to happen to you, and we want to beat them over the head with what we know is truth, but we haven't introduced them to Jesus yet. Jesus says, I'm talking to those that believed in me first. If you believe in me and you're faithful to my teachings, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It didn't say just because I'm coming and telling David the truth that the truth is going to set him free. No, I have to tell him about Jesus. Because what I have to say isn't going to set him free. It's knowing Jesus that will set him free. So we got to understand something about the truth setting people free. We think we're going to help them get free first. Oh, you're living in sin, and you're living this, and you're doing that. So you need to stop doing all that, and then be faithful to Jesus' teaching, come to know him. No. We got to introduce them to Jesus first. You know, I've talked to, everybody knows, the world's crazy right now, right? It's crazy. And so anytime someone wants to debate, you know, I'm not, you know, I can debate with the best of them. I'll just tell you that. But I don't like to debate. So I always say, I tell everybody this, and I tell my Sunday school groups this when I talk with them, I always set ground rules. Some of you need to set ground rules in your home. Some of you need to set ground rules with your kids. Some of you need to set ground rules with your spouse, you know. I'm going to step on your toes from the beginning, come on. But you need to set some ground rules. I set ground rules when I talk to people. Because when I come in and I say, "Oh, you want to talk about this? You want to talk about the Bible? You want to talk about this issue in the world?" Okay, well, let's set some ground rules. Do you believe in the Word of God? Do you believe it from beginning to end that everything in it is true? It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Ground rule number one. Because if you don't, how can I convince you of that? This is my foundation for everything. If you don't believe in this, if you don't believe in the Word of God, we're not going to have much to talk about. I'm going to tell you, Jesus loves you. And you may say, "Well, I don't believe in Jesus." Well, guess what? Doesn't matter if he loves you or not. You're going to have an encounter with Jesus before that matters. So I say, do you believe in the Word of God? Do you believe there's a heaven? And do you believe there's a hell? If those ground rules aren't clearly established, we're not going to have a good conversation. Because I'm telling you what, the people that are living in sin and don't know that there's a hell aren't afraid of it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Nothing. They're not worried about it. But you have to understand that there's a reward that is waiting for me in heaven. And there's a consequence waiting for me if I live a life of sin. If people don't understand those ground rules, I'm wasting my hot air. So I'm not going to deal with it. So it says that you will know the truth and the truth will set you free, but we have to introduce people to Jesus first. And it says, but these, they said, we are descendants of Abraham. We have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean we'll be set free? You know, that's a lot. That's a lot of people. That's people in the church too. They don't know. I've been in church all my life. I don't need to be set free for anything. I've been in church all my life. I don't need to go to that discipleship class. You know, I've done all this stuff. I'm good. You know, but people in the world, they think the same thing. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm a good person. I can do this and I can do that. I'm not hurting anyone. I haven't committed a crime, right? So they don't even know. We haven't been slaves to anyone. How can I be free? And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And a slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family. Too many people are slaves to sin, and you're just visiting Jesus today. Too many people aren't permanent members of the family of God and just visiting Jesus. Just coming in and saying, well, you know, I'm still a slave to sin because I like the things I'm doing. I'm holding on to these things. I'm not ready to get rid of them just yet. But Jesus himself said, then you are a slave and not part of the family. Wow, it's so hard. That just pokes holes in theology of people believing that once saved, always saved. Because you can't be if you still sin because you're not part of the family, it says. Because you're a slave to sin. A slave to sin. But Jesus desires for us to be sons. He desires for us to be a part of the family. And the only way we can be a part of the family is if we believe in Jesus and remain faithful to his teachings. When we remain faithful to his teachings, all of a sudden we find that truth. And the truth begins to set you free. It begins to set you free from drugs and alcohol. It begins to set you free from addictions. It begins to set you free from pornography and lust. It begins to set you free from greed and jealousy and unforgiveness, right? The truth of Jesus will set you free from all areas of your life. That's good news. I'm telling you something good today. You should smile, you know, because it'll set you free. We all have something different that we may deal with, but nothing changes about Jesus. He is the truth, and that truth can set you free. So the important part of that is when he says, if you are my disciples and remain faithful to my teaching. So we have to learn to be disciples. We're called to make disciples, not converts. You know, when someone is converted to Jesus, when they make that decision to follow Jesus, that's an event in their life. That's a one-time thing that happened. You know, I know there's many. You know, I know my dad can stand and he can tell you. He remembers the day that he accepted Christ into his life. And I know many of you can say, I remember that day. That was an event. You remember it. And it may be wonderful to you. Some of you can sit there and say, well, I remember my wedding day. I hope you can all say that. I remember. We just had those that just given birth to a baby. I remember. I bet you remember that day. You know, Morgan remembers that day, right, ladies? I remember that day. There's a lot of events that happen in our life that we can remember. But a lot of times when those things happen, that's when the process begins. That's if you get saved, you become to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That was a day, that was a commitment, that was a decision you made, and now the process begins. Just like having that baby. When you had that baby, the process began of motherhood. When you got married, the process began of being a husband, of being a wife. That's when all the work begins, right? You thought it was all fun. You were excited. It was a good day, and then you're like, what happened? You know? Everything in life is a process, and a process takes time. You know, I like to smoke meat. That's one of the things I enjoy doing. And if you come to my house, you see I got like three or four grills all out of my house, everything, everywhere. You know, and but what I love about it is it's a process. When I get that piece of meat that I want to smoke, I get it out, and the first thing I have to do is I have to do a little work on it. So I get out my knife, and I begin to trim it. You know, I begin to cut away some of that not-so-good, hard, nasty fat on that piece of meat. You know, Tiffany hates this part of it. She don't like that. And I begin to cut that away. But, you know, and then I have to get in there and remove. There's that silver skin. That's the fine details. You got to get in there and start cutting that out and removing it. Getting it off there. Because if you don't, it's going to affect the flavor, the toughness, the tenderness in the piece of meat. You know, when we get saved, God's got to come in there with that knife and begin to remove things that aren't pleasing. He's got to cut away some things, and it's not a process that we like, because when we get saved, we say, well, it's supposed to be great now, and now you pulled out a knife. You know, but you got to do the work. You got to begin to cut out things and remove things. And that's what I love about, you know, that. Then I take it, and then I love to just cover it and slather it with, I like mustard. I put it all over it. And then I put all my seasonings on it and bind it up. And then it's got to just sit in the refrigerator so that all those flavors can come into it. That's what we did this morning. We just soaked in the presence of God. We don't get in a hurry. Just let it all just kind of all come together. And then you got to realize, when I want to enjoy this brisket, I know I'm making you hungry. Don't worry, I'll let you go to eat. But when you want to enjoy this brisket, if I want to enjoy it in the evening for dinner, I got to get up at 3:30 in the morning to get the fire ready. I got to get up and I got to put in the process of getting it ready. And I got to get the heat just right on the smoker. And I got to put it all in and let it cook. And then there's something that happens when you're cooking meat. All of a sudden, after a few hours, you come out and you begin to look at it. You check the temperature on it. And all of a sudden, that outside, it starts to look good. That bark sets up on it. If you know barbecue, who knows what I'm talking about when I say bark? Oh, that starts to set up, and it looks good. And at that moment, the outside looks perfect, and some people want to make the mistake. I got to take this off the oven because this, I got to take this off smoker because it's ready to eat. Even though the outside looks good, something on the inside's not ready. You know, too many times we come and we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we get our outside all cleaned up. We start looking a little better. We start dressing a little better, talking a little better. But you know, sometimes there's something on the inside that's not ready. There's something on the inside that's not done yet. There's something on the inside where we haven't forgiven those that have hurt us, persecuted us, abused us, taken advantage of us. We're living on the inside with a hurt. But on the outside, we look all right. But on the inside, things aren't ready because it's a process. You can look good on the outside quickly, but on the inside, it takes a little more time. It takes a little more time for you to, you know, experience those hurts that have been in your life and say, you know, well, I've just buried them. Well, I understand that, but God doesn't want you to bury them. He wants to reveal them so he can heal them. That's what discipleship does. He doesn't want to leave you broken. He wants to fix you and make you whole. But too many times we think we can suppress these things and hide these things. And what happens when you do is the inside, it's not done. It's not ready. So you have to let it stay a little longer. You have to let it cook a little longer. You know, and then sometimes you get to experience something that just blows your mind. That happened. See, when I travel a lot and we eat at all these different places, I always research where's the best barbecue place to eat. It don't matter. I'll drive out of the way to go to a barbecue place. You know, if I'm going to Florida, you know, it may be via Alabama, you know, or North Carolina. I don't know. I'm just going to go find good barbecue. And I'm one of those people that I'm going to find out what it says on TripAdvisor, what it says on Google, what it says on Yelp. You know, I'm going to go find out everything I can because I got to get good information and good feedback. And so we did that one time. We were in St. Louis, and I researched this barbecue place, and I go up and I walk in and I order, of course, the sampler platter. You know, I'm only coming one time. I got to try it all. I want the brisket and the sausage and I want the pulled pork. And you know, I'm planning this barbecue meal that I'm going to enjoy. And I turn to Tiffany and I say, what do you want to eat? And she says, I'd like the Reuben. And I kind of got mad. And I said, the Reuben? You're at a barbecue place. You can't get a Reuben. Really, I was saying that because I wanted to try her food. I wanted her to get something different than I got so I could try it. And I'm like, what, we're not at Penn Station. You can't get a Reuben, you know? And so she's like, I want the Reuben. And I was like, oh, so guess what? She won. She got the Reuben. And so we sit down and we're eating, and I'm telling her how good my stuff is. Oh, so good. You should have got barbecue. And she takes a bite of this Reuben, and she says, this is the best thing I've ever eaten. Let me try it. I take a bite of that Reuben, and I'm like, my goodness, this is the best thing I've ever tried. And I'm like, how is this possible? And so it got me curious because it was amazing of what I just tasted. You know, sometimes this morning you may have come up here during the presence of God, and the Lord says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Sometimes you just got to taste something different. And when I tasted it, I go, wow, that's good. Then I had to look into the process. How did they make that so good? Now, you guys may be a little more intelligent than I am, but I did not know this. I did not know that pastrami is brisket. I did not know that. But there was a process to take that brisket and turn it into pastrami. So I began to look into the process. It takes 6 days to take a brisket and to brine it and to put the flavors in it and turn it every day so that it will become pastrami. And then they took that pastrami, after they took that brisket, after they made it pastrami, then they put it on the smoker and they did the full process. And it was amazing. And I bought a brisket. And I'm going to try to make pastrami here very soon. I just need 6 days. But what got me was the process. See, sometimes things, we just want things to happen overnight. And it doesn't. It's a process. Things take time. When you got married and you realized that that was going to be a work in process. Oh, not progress. Oh, don't get it wrong. Don't get it wrong. It's not a work in progress, ladies. That man's a work in process, because you may not see progress for a long time. Hello. He may still leave the toilet seat up. His shoes may still be in the middle of the floor, right? You may not see progress. I've told you 1,000 times, you know. We get all worked up because we're not seeing the progress, and therefore we give up on the process. But we have to focus on the process and not worry about the progress. But we got to see, well, I want to see results. You know, I told you one time. See how that works. Most of the time they're going to defile you 5 more just because you told them once. You know? So you gotta wait for the process to work. Man, you are stubborn people, I tell you. I'm not talking to me today. What about when you raise and discipline your children? Oh, it's a process. It's a process. Because you tell them, hey, don't do that. They're going to do it just a couple more times. Just see what you do. What you going to do about it? You know, they want to see. They're going to push and test the limits. And you may discipline them once or twice and things. And then you go, oh, it's just not working. You know, I just give up. But you got to stay faithful to the process. You got to stay faithful to the process. When one gets saved and accepts Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that event happened and the process began. And one's progress may be different than another, but the process is the same. Someone's progress may look different than yours. They cleaned up on the outside a lot quicker. They may look a little better. Their progress may be different, but the process of how we remain faithful and learn to be disciples is the same. We have to stick with the process. The Great Commission tells us to make disciples, not converts. So we have to understand that there's a process. Alan Hurst, an author, wrote, "A disciple is one who follows Jesus and becomes increasingly like him." A disciple is one who follows Jesus and becomes increasingly like him. If you came and you gave your heart to the Lord today, or on that special day you gave your heart to the Lord, I bet you didn't wake up the next morning and look in the mirror and go, man, I look like Jesus. It didn't happen. It didn't happen because you probably were on the way to work that day and someone cut you off, and all of a sudden you started going, blah, 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 you know, and then you realize, oh, I got saved yesterday. I'm not supposed to do that. You know, but it's a process. It may take a little while to see the progress, but you got to remain faithful to the process. But our job is to become increasingly like Jesus. And as I look around this room really closely, I don't see any Jesus lookalikes yet. So I know it's got to take some time. It's got to take a process. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Imitate God. Therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God." Imitate God in everything you do, not just when you come to church. In everything we do, we are required, we are told to imitate God. And live a life filled with love. One of our core values is to live a life that is pleasing to God and wins the respect of others. Why? Because that's what Jesus would do. That's what Jesus would do. So he wants us to live and every day become increasingly like him. Increasingly like him. Oh, when you begin to think of the fruits of the Spirit, you have to begin to go through that list. Love. Am I like Jesus? Joy. Am I like Jesus? Peace. Am I like Jesus yet? Oh, if you still get worried about the things in life and, oh, you come in all, you know, torn down and beaten down and worried about the things of the world, are you like Jesus yet? Are you imitating him? We have to begin to imitate him. Have you ever seen a kid imitate their father? What about a daughter imitate their mother? It's funny, parents all always say, when those kids do that, I don't know where they get that from. Kids say the darndest things, you know? And everybody's sitting back going, we know where they got it from. We've seen how you act. I know I'm stepping on toes. I'm sorry. They imitate what they see. Discipleship is a follower of Jesus. We imitate those that we see living a good example. Paul said, follow the example as I follow Christ Jesus. Follow my example as I... He didn't say follow me, look like me. He says follow me as I imitate Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. So we have to begin to imitate our Father. Bill Hall, another author, said, a disciple is a committed follower of Jesus Christ who demonstrates belief by action. It's important as we become a disciple that our actions begin to change, that our faith begins to change. You know, when like Apostle was saying, when someone comes and says, pray that I can make my payment this week, this month. Instead, when our action begins to change, pray that I can be debt-free. Our action begins to change as we follow Jesus more and more and more. We begin to put our faith into action. You can see action, right? People can tell you all day long, I believe in Jesus. And you can't see their belief, but you can see their action. You can see who they imitate. You can see what they do, you can hear what they say, right? You can see their fruit. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, and you will know them by their fruit. Yeah, you can see that. You know what they're producing. When you look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 17, it says, a good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so can you identify people by their actions. You can identify people, those that call themselves disciples, those that call themselves believers in Christ, you can identify them by their actions. As I began to pray into that this week and began to think about a good tree doesn't produce bad fruit, I began to think about the fruit that we produce. The first fruit you produce is that of your seed, which are your children. That's the first fruit you produce. And the Bible says, the word of Jesus says here, that a good fruit, good tree doesn't produce bad fruit. But yet, have we seen children grow up and not follow the Lord? Have we seen these things happen? Well, they just got mixed up in the wrong crowd. Well, they were a bad apple. All these things that people say are wrong. It says a good tree doesn't produce bad fruit. And a bad tree doesn't produce good fruit. So we have to ask ourselves, what are we producing? What are we producing in our children? What are we producing when we take someone and make them a disciple? What I began to think about is, you ever picked up a piece of fruit and seen a bruise on it? Got a bruise on that piece of fruit, and most of the time people just kind of come in and cut that away, and the rest of the fruit's good. You know, most of the time I believe that those are the fruit that we're producing in our children. And we produce that because there's something down on the inside of us that's still not quite like Jesus. And we're holding on to it. We haven't dealt with it. We haven't addressed it. And it comes out in our children. You know, if you're still holding on to anger, you're not a patient person. You'll see anger build in your children. The Bible even warns fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. But it's, why do we do it? It's something inside of us that's not healthy and healed yet. So we have to become increasingly like Jesus to produce good fruit. You don't stop producing fruit. If you're sitting there and say, my children aren't serving God the way I do, you're trying to say, I produce bad fruit. I'm trying to say, you're not done. I'm trying to say you still have to work yourself at being a good tree. You still got to be faithful to the teachings of Jesus. As he said in John, if you're faithful, those that remain faithful to my teachings. We have to begin to be faithful so that we produce fruit. We are a constant learner and grower in the things of God. I'm not perfect. And I know the flaws that I have in myself will produce in my children if I don't correct them. I know the flaws that are in me will produce in my disciples if I don't correct them. So we all have to self-examine ourselves and realize we can all be imitators of God. We can all be followers of Jesus, but there's stuff we still need to deal with. Are we filled with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? Do we have those things? Have we perfected those things? The fruit of the Spirit is the evidence that God has been working on the inside of us. And if he's working on the inside of us, this is the external of what we see. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. I've been reading and been making references to it. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Who produces it? The Holy Spirit. I don't know how anyone say he's not for today. If he produces this kind of fruit in our lives, how many know we need more love? This passage came to me and I just began to just meditate on it and chew on it all week because Pastor Jacob's sermon last week talking about joy. How it's a fruit of the Spirit and we need joy in our lives. We look around, do we see joy on Christians? Do we see joy coming? That doesn't mean just happiness. It means joy. In the midst of troubles, I still have joy. In the midst of trials, I still have joy. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love. You know, you can love those that are in sin and not accept their sin. You can love those that are in sin and not accept their sin, but you gotta have love. We haven't learned to perfect this fruit of the Spirit, love, because it's a process. It's the Word of God says it's easy to love those that love you, right? But how do you love someone that is fundamentally different than you, that doesn't believe the way you do? How do you love someone that has opposite values of you? How do you love your enemies, those that abused you and persecute you? How do you love those that have done you wrong? It's a fruit of the Spirit. It has to be worked from the inside. You have to find forgiveness first so that you can love. You have to realize that that person living in sin isn't because of you. It is because they are lost in the world and they need Jesus. But you still have to love them. When we learn the fruits of the Spirit, when we learn that the Holy Spirit produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, it says there is no law against these, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. And since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Every part of our lives. Every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. We have to realize that we're in a process. I'm in a process. I'm in a process of knowing Jesus more, imitating Jesus. I'm in the process of being a disciple and making disciples. I'm in the process of producing good fruit. That's what we have to be in the process of. I have a lot more, so I'm going to do some of it next week because I don't want to keep you any longer. But I want to just show you this. It says, when you think about it, I looked this up, harvesting fruit. It takes grapes 3 years to bear fruit. It takes apples 4 to 8 years. Oranges, it says 1 to 4 years. But if planted from a seed, not a seedling, it would take 10 to 12 years for a tree to grow to produce oranges. And too many of us think that we can be disciples overnight and neglect the process. What discipleship is about being learners and growing and remaining faithful in the teachings of the Lord, and it's a process. We are all in this process. We're all in this process, and where we are is different. Everyone's different in what they see. But I'm telling you, the process of being a disciple of Jesus is the same. We have to be faithful to the process because the Holy Spirit wants to produce good fruit in us. He wants us to be a church that through our actions show the fruits of the Spirit. They'll know them by their actions, their fruit. I want those that are leaders, facilitators of our Accelerate groups to just stand real quick. Those that have been leading those groups. You know, this week we launched that, and they all had wonderful groups, and I was going to take time and actually grab a testimony, but like I said, we've moved on time today. But I want you to notice these. I want you to look at them. If you haven't gotten an Accelerate group, I want you to talk to some of them. Some of them are full. That's a good news. That's good. Some of them are full. They have too many people and not enough chairs in a home. That's okay. That's great. But if you're looking around this room and say, man, I'm not in one, and you want to be a facilitator, we need some more host homes, you can say, hey, I'll do that. You can come see me. We'll talk about it and see if we can put a group together in your area. Because when you get in a group like this, you begin to grow. You begin to find things about yourself that you thought were okay and realize there's still more to do. There's still more to do. When I began to read this book, I began to find some of those things, and those were like, oh, hello. That got a little bit on me. But if I don't correct those things in me, I'll just keep producing that same bad fruit, those same spots in my disciples. And that's not what I desire to do. These guys and ladies that are standing have had wonderful groups. Like I said, over 50 people were in groups this week at different nights of the week. And like I said, another 15 plus are planning at being groups this week because it's important that we learn what it is to be a learner, disciple, and follower of Jesus. So I want to say thank you all for stepping out and leading these groups. You're doing very important work, and I appreciate you. Would you just tell them how much you appreciate them today? Thank you, guys. You may be seated. I know we're going to hear wonderful testimonies from your groups, and I know that there are wonderful things that God has in store for His people. Amen. I may share more next week on the fruits of the Spirit because it's just something that's been on my, you know, I don't think I've ever preached a sermon on the fruits of the Spirit. And I got to thinking about that this week. I'm like, man, I've never preached a sermon on the fruits of the Spirit. But it's so important that we understand those are the qualities that God wants us to demonstrate each and every day. Amen. But how many know it's a process? I want you to say, I'm a process. I'm a work in process. Don't worry about the progress yet. Worry about the process. Amen. I want to pray for you today, and then I'll dismiss you. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord today. Father God, I thank you for each and every person that is here, Father God, absorbing your word. Lord, I ask that you just begin to speak to them, Father God. You begin to challenge them, Father God, in your word. Lord, for those of us that are not producing the fruit we should produce, that you bring a conviction over us, Father God, and let us begin to clear up some things in our life. Lord, I thank you for those that are desiring to be learners and disciples and committing themselves to these groups, Father God, that they'll be constant learners. Father God, for those that have heard the word today, they want to be faithful disciples. That want to be set free, Lord Jesus. I thank you that you're setting people free right now. Your word is true. And I know that you have something so special for each and every person. God, you know everything that all of us have went through and are dealing with. And Father God, your word, your truth will set us free in those moments. And God, I thank you that you're setting people free now. I thank you that you're healing unforgiveness, that you're healing hurts, that you're healing, Father God, brokenness. I thank you, God, that you're healing those that have been bound by depression and anxiety and addiction, Lord Jesus, because your truth is setting us free, your people free, in Jesus' mighty name. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your freedom. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for visiting us today with your presence. And God, as we leave here today, may your presence go with us. May we experience your presence each and every day this week. May we have a desire to draw closer to you. And Father God, as you draw closer to us, we give you praise and glory for who you are, Father God. Not because of what you've done, because of who you are. You deserve all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's sermon. If you would like to sow a seed into our ministry, text the word GIVE to 833-613-0523. For more sermons and content like this, please subscribe and like this podcast, and visit our website at fwcbtown.org, or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. And remember, we are carrying the message of Jesus to reach those that are lost.